Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Happy New Year. You know, in 2019, when I had just come out of detention, and I'd started a certain journey, there's a scripture which the Lord gave me, which comes to head right now. And it's in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker." Praise the Lord. Now, this is the house of Saul and the house of David. I want you to understand that this is not David and Saul, because these are people who represent different things. So it's the house of David and the house of Saul. I understood what the scripture meant at the time. And I know that it has been an ongoing thing since then, even if some people have never actually realized it. But it's been ongoing, because at the time I was having serious encounters in the spirit with the house of Saul, people who represent the house of Saul. And I'm not talking about spirits, I'm talking about human beings who represent the house of Saul. That was 2019. And those encounters continued for a bit of a while until they stopped at some stage. But then the war was on between the house of David and the house of Saul. And now as we come to this moment, when it's coming to an end, and when you're supposed to be unveiled or crowned, it is easy for people to sit back and think that now it's over. But the truth is that it actually isn't. The crowning moment comes with its drama. Because imagine trying to unseat forces of darkness that had entrenched themselves and thought they were going nowhere. And yet they actually now notice that God is with you and the battle is on and you have to unseat them. And so they do a lot of desperate things at a time such as this. I was shocked to realize they are still fighting in the spirit. I thought they had already realized that they are defeated there, but they are actually. They are still fighting in the spirit, because when we are praying here, some people here and myself, somebody saw, and I'm trying to show you this, I'm trying to tell you this to know that even your own sitting on the throne, there's going to be some drama, but it has already been sorted in the spirit, so you are going to see the victory. But still there is some drama, eh? Now, somebody saw, not myself, some top generals, four-star generals, had dug a grave. Eh? And then they got a cow, and then they put the cow alive in the grave. And then they got my 2021 campaign poster, and sellotaped it on the cow and then buried the cow alive. Now, that's elementary school spirituality. Those fools think that you can kill me like that. I tell you, in around 2012, somebody else did the same. This time they put a person and it manifested. I woke up on a Saturday. I woke up early in the morning. I had some work to do, but I still had some carryover sleep. So when I finished the work, I went home at around 1 lunchtime, and I slept. But I was feeling so weak, and there was nothing wrong with me, but I was extremely weak and, you know, feeling something was wrong. The oil you'd feed if you're coming down with a fever. But I knew it had nothing to do with anything physical. So anyway, when I slept, I dreamt. When guys had cornered me somewhere and pulled out knives and they were going to sacrifice me. And then at some stage, apparently, they got somebody else. And you know they do those things. Eh? And give him your name. And say, now you're a cablator. Then they start doing things to him until they kill the person. So I woke up when the feeding had increased so much. And I struggled with it. I prayed in tongues. And I remember at the time, the feeding was heavy. Of course, that was more than 10 years ago. It was really heavy, and those people had done a lot of spirituality, and I knew them. I knew who they were, or I knew who he was. And I think at the time, I actually called Prophet Elvis and told him I'm under attack, and he told me I know. I had seen it already. So it went, and that was it. Now, that gentleman, he tried a few other times and failed. And when I met him one day, I remember I was seated at Serena and I was seated with some gentleman whom we knew mutually. And this guy comes walking and he sees me on a table and then he passes this side like this, as if he has seen a ghost. Because you see, when those people, because he had given me his best effort, and I know he's good at that. I know he's like very deep in that stuff. But he had given me his best effort and failed. Then the other gentleman knew that we had issues with him. Guy I was seated with having, a meal with. So he told him, hey, sir, Kableta, your friend is here. He said, no, ask him, aren't you going to greet Kableta? Then the guy looked at me. Then he said, told the other guy, Kableta, that one is my friend in Jesus Christ. I don't know why he said that, but it was so funny. Anyhow, I'm telling you that. So these guys tried it again. They have guns. Why don't they use guns? Because what they are trying to use, like they are amateurs. You understand? Eh? They are amateurs. Let them use guns. They at least I don't know how to use a gun. Huh? But you're a general and you're burying a cow alive. Why don't you eat the meat? But anyway, I was a bit bemused that they are still fighting in the what? In the spirit. Eh? I thought by now they would come in flesh. But you see, all these things come in Mitendera. Eh? They come in, and that's just the way it is. Eh? And there are parallels all over the scripture where you know this is where we have reached in this war. Because I want you to understand one thing, that the war we are involved in right now is a turning over, okay, comparable to the turning over of the kingdom of Saul to the kingdom of David. Those who are here in the minister's meeting, I told you that. That's exactly where we are. Because it's going to be the light that is going to shine across the world and destroy the forces of darkness is going to start from Uganda. Amen? Like that, I want to convince you about that. I wish I could properly. But I think you believe that. But then, what you might struggle to believe is that you are a very important piece in that puzzle. Extremely important piece in that puzzle. And now you see, when people don't understand that you're part of a grand scheme of things, you're not just a lone ranger, a lone dreamer, somebody who is pursuing your dreams alone, trying to make ends meet. You become much stronger when you know you're part of a bigger plan. Amen? Now, for instance, you might not realize how important it is for the devil to isolate you and make you think that you're there fighting alone. He can bring you down so easily. You remember Elijah? Somebody as great a prophet as Elijah. He was on the brink of total discouragement. Lord, I'm the only one left, you know, fighting for you. Everybody has deserted you. I'm the only one left. Now, that's a very dangerous position for two reasons. First of all, if you think you're the only one fighting for the Lord, that can even lead to pride. You can't be the only one fighting for God. Who do you think you are? But secondly, it can lead to disillusionment, of being overwhelmed and ultimately discouraged. And you see, when the Lord appeared to him, he just told him one simple thing. You're not alone. There are 7,000 other people who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And that's it. That's all God had to tell him, that you're not alone. Amen? Now, when you know conclusively within yourself that card dream you're pursuing is part of a grand scheme of end-time projects that have to come to pass because God said they have to come to pass. You understand? Eh? So you're not just alone. You're pursuing your dream, maybe your business, or whatever it is you're pursuing. If you understand that you're just a piece in a bigger puzzle, in a much bigger puzzle, there is a way it makes you feel almost invincible. You understand? Eh? Because there are other people involved. And there is this puzzle that the Lord is building, putting together. You know, like those puzzles which they put in pieces. And your pieces has to be somewhere for the puzzle to be complete. So then you know you're not alone. And you do not get discouraged. And you do not be like Elijah, okay? Because you know that if your thing falls, perhaps the whole thing falls with it. And the whole thing cannot fall with it. So you're steady. Praise the Lord. Now that's the first thing you have to know. The second thing you have to know is locate yourself in this puzzle. You see, if you are not concretely sure where you fall in this puzzle, you will not even be sure that you are part of it. First of all, you locate yourself in it and say, in all this grand end-time scheme, which has to come to pass, okay? Because the kingdom has to be turned over from Saul to David, this is where I am. This is what the Lord has given me, music. Amen? How many of you know that wars don't just have soldiers? They have also musicians. You know that. Even the contemporary wars, all soldiers go singing. Now, when you know for a fact that my plan is here, my plan is here, this is what I do, this is what I'm supposed to do, and then the picture becomes clearer because, number one, you're not going to fight other people because you know where you belong. Number two, you know that your crowning in that area you belong to is part of the general crowning of the church. You understand? So you know that I'm not just here. Like, I am going to get a crown in my place here. Now, when we talk about things about, you know, the house of Saul, the house of David, you can relate with things like that. Very easy to relate with things like that. Now, after knowing that, then you have to know that also God uses guerrilla warfare. Amen? Guerrilla warfare means you enter into the enemy's camp and you go there and fight within. And he does it all the time. A lot of the time. Your crowning, say like the crowning of King David, involves you going inside the house of Saul and having some operation within there. Don't make this mean what it doesn't mean. Eh? I'm just saying that you have to stand up before the person you're going to unseat. And that's just the way it is. He's apparently the one in authority, but you go and stand up to him. You go and stand up there, and it doesn't matter in what capacity you stand up there with him. You've come for what he has. Amen? So when David goes to the palace to play an instrument for Saul, he's not there as an entertainer. He's there as a conqueror. But he comes first as an entertainer. And that's okay. So he goes and plays the harp for him. But you cannot take over a territory you've not stepped in. So now he's there, and actually something is happening. And when the power of God is with you, when you stand in places like that, there's something that actually shifts. Because you see, and it has always been God's method of doing things. Imagine Jesus comes, all beaten all over and in chains and, you know, all that, and bleeding and so on, and comes and stands before the high priest. And the high priest believes that he has power over Jesus. But Jesus has come to take over the high priestly office. That was the last high priest who had any meaning. After that, Jesus became the what? So he has come for his office, but he's there. Then the high priest presumes that he's the one in control, but he's not. It's just part of a grand scheme of things. So he declares, Jesus, bring evidence, so people come talking rubbish and so on. Then he says, yeah, we have no further proof. Now, you see, they were trying to make it sound like a real trial. But then they asked Jesus. And their high priest, before they were asking him, he never said a single word. People were accusing him, he never said a single word. But then now the high priest said, I adjure you by God. In other words, now I am almost as if putting you under as a high priest. Remember, the office was instituted by God. Tell me, are you the Messiah? Then Jesus says, it is as you said. Because now he can't keep quiet. Because it's the high priest talking as a high priest, as an office put there by God. So he says, it as you said. Then the high priest says that we have no further need for witnesses. The man has committed blasphemy. He's deserving of death. Now, he doesn't know those words. Everything there has been planned. It's all a plan. You understand? Because in the Levitical law, on the Day of Atonement, the people of God had to bring a lamb to represent Israel. And there were very many rules on what the lamb should look like or should be like. You understand? And the high priest would examine the lamb, not examine the person. Amen? The person is there because he's a sinner. So he has brought a lamb to be sacrificed for his sins. So the high priest examines the lamb. It had to be 1 year old, or what, without blemish, what. So when the high priest examines it and says, okay, this lamb is deserving of death, then that becomes the sacrificial lamb. So if the high priest does not say Jesus is deserving of death, Jesus is not the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he was there to get that. You're deserving of death. Then the whole thing is done. So now he's the Lamb of God. The high priest has declared him as what? Fit to take off the sins of the world. Now, do you think the high priest knows all that? He doesn't. For him, he thinks he's all that. Wakavi is sitting on his throne and so on. But then, the high priest's office is being strapped away from him at that very moment. Because the minute Jesus died and rose, he became the high priest. Now, these are the high priests of the old covenant, became shadows. So now you have to understand that this is how the Lord enters within something, and it might appear like somebody else is in charge. For instance, that time in 2009, the person who ordered for my arrest was getting videos of me when they were punching me. Bam! Bam! And then they were sending him videos. I was seeing they were sending him videos of me. And he thought he was in charge. You wait and see who's going to be in charge. Huh? And, but you see, somehow people can know things. Eh? Because late in the night, he would call those people and tell them, where is he? Then you see them coming, running to my cell. Then they start speaking. Hey, that is here. Is what? And I knew whom they were speaking to. They had stripped me down to an underwear. But now they wanted to take a video, which they thought they would circulate. So they told me to put on my trousers. Then they said, now kneel down. So I knelt down. Then they said, now repeat these words after me. I received the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they said, repeat these words. From now onwards, I'm going to respect generals, especially a certain general, the one who had ordered my arrest. And so it went like that, and it ended. So it ended, God told me, now there's a long war between the house of David and the house of Saul. But you see, somewhere along the way, things turn. That was the beginning. Somewhere along the way, things turn. Now somebody was telling you, kneel down and put up your hand, there is a cow with your poster. You see, there is something which has changed. Otherwise, they could come here, and they still can. But that would mean the end of days. But I'm here. You see, eh? But it's been 5 years since. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that this is not about any individual person. Eh? Everyone here has a crown, And the pattern is going to be like that. It's set in the scripture. That's how it is going to be. Are you hearing me? Now, let me give you another example. You remember when, and I've spoken about this before, you remember when Paul was standing trial between Governor Felix, King Agrippa, and all those people? So he comes, he's in prison, he's in chains and so on. And then at some stage, he says, I appeal to Caesar. Now, in the process of him going to Rome to go and stand before Caesar, the emperor, there is the shipwreck. And you know the shipwreck and what. And twice the Lord appears to him, first in the form of an angel. The next time he spoke to him and said, do not fear, Paul. You have to appear before Caesar. So you wonder, why is it so important that Paul goes and stands before Caesar? Because God told him twice. And then one of them, he told him, even because you have to appear before Caesar, the 276 people who are with you on the ship, none of them is going to die. Not a single hair is going to fall. I've given them all to you. Because you have to appear before Caesar. So after they had gone so long without eating, Paul stands up and tells them that, people, cheer up. An angel of the God whom I serve came and told me that none of us is going to die. So it's going to be okay. So he said, so eat some food. So they got, he himself got food, gave thanks before all of them, and ate, and all of them were encouraged and ate. And all of them survived and arrived to their destination. But you have to appear before Caesar. Now it's interesting that the scripture does not say what happened when Paul appeared before Caesar. But then, you can read from some of the historical perspectives that actually the day Paul stood in front of the throne of the emperor, the entirety of the Roman Empire fell to Christianity. Starting with some of the people who were some of his children and the people from his household were the first ones to convert. Now here Paul appears as a prisoner seeking his freedom. That's how it is presented in the world. But in the realm of the spirit, he's a conqueror. You understand? He's here to conquer Caesar. And when he conquers him, he starts with his household. And then they get converted. You go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. Now, here Paul is writing to the Philippians. After that time, he had stood before Caesar. And he says, all the saints greet you, but especially those of Caesar's household. He went and messed up the man's house. Now he's writing letters with Caesar's family. You understand? A man who went there, apparently seeking to be released from the crimes or alleged crimes he had committed. So now, this is how it works. Now, you have to find a way to relate it with yourself. Amen? Because there will be places you enter, maybe even as an employee, but you're going to end up on top. Or some people who come and say, come and join us, we want to start this, but actually they are going to end up being your employees. Praise the Lord. Because every throne, like these things follow in a certain way, and that's just the way it is. Because after this, the Roman Empire, Christianity broke out completely. Because you have to go to the place of authority and stand there. Just your standing there and living has already made an impact. If you know who you are and if you know where you stand in the grand scheme of things, and if you know your crowning is part of a great crowning, because of that, you're not easily swallowed up. Because anybody can be swallowed up if they believe they're alone. Anybody, regardless. Once you think you're alone, and you think you're the only one doing something, you're the only one who is fighting for this, Michi. It's very easy for you to, at some stage, to get overwhelmed and give up. And the devil actually creates that illusion. He comes and isolates somebody and makes them think they're alone. So you fight alone, fight alone, fight alone, and then you see nobody is coming to your rescue. You are alone. Eventually, people like that give up. And then, yet actually, they were never alone. Not once were they alone. Like Elijah. Praise the Lord. So now, I'm trying to say this slowly, so that you start getting a picture of it in your life, knowing that if your car project you're pursuing is actually not a car project, it's part of a big scheme, you'll treat it more seriously? You understand? Eh? If you understand that it's part of a big scheme, you treat it seriously. You know that time after that, it was actually just before that time when I was telling you in 2009, there was a time I got sick, and I got very sick. I actually came this close to death, this close to death. And at that point, when I was like really, I was looking at the distance to eternity and the distance back to health, and the distance back to health looked so far. And the devil came straight there. And he always does that for people he knows have big commissions. He came and told me that, why don't you just give up? In 1 second, you can be walking the streets of glory. And of course, I know that's true. Eh? But he wants to take you away because he knows you are supposed to do certain what? Things. And yet he cannot kill you without your permission. You understand? Eh? By the way, I was really, 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 really thinking about it. And I would love to say I thought about my family, but I didn't. I actually thought about, so God has prepared me for something like this. And because of a little trial I'm going through, I end up in first heaven. Because I didn't do the things I was supposed to do. And that's an eternal story. Like, there's a conversation going on between you and him. And said, just a short time, you've been glory. Your reward is awaiting you. But the devil can evangelize, man. Like, he wants you to say, and if you just say in your heart, ah, man, I'm tired, that's it, you go. You just have to say it in your heart and give up the will to fight. Anyhow, obviously, you know what decision I made, and here I am. And, but I want you to know I was this close to dying. Some of the people here were there and they saw it. And the guy is negotiating for your life. Because he knows, first of all, ultimately you're going to end up in heaven. So it's better you go now so that you don't cause more havoc. You understand? To his kingdom. So, my point is, I saw what by that time I knew, I had a fairly faint picture of what I was supposed to do and to be. And I wasn't ready to give that up and go to third heaven. Yet maybe I can improve my station. Huh? To first. Amen? So that also means I can go and converse with the Apostle Paul. But some of you will be in Chirasha conversing with Muslims who converted on the final day of their what? On their deathbed. And those are the ones you're bongaring with. And yet you attended Roche, but I'm joking, you know. I said, man, I'm not going to go for that. And by the way, let me tell you, everybody has had that time when they were negotiating. When the enemy tries to negotiate and says, because you see, the church was built on that foundation of die, go to heaven. So the idea that there's a lot of work to be done here, we actually learned it as we went along. Anyhow, so when you have a clear picture, you know exactly what to do. Go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. Start from verse 16. Now, you know that David belonged to the tribe of Judah. And Saul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Then some of the sons of Benjamin, that is the brethren of Saul, and Judah came to David at the stronghold. That means they defected. They defected from Saul to David. Now, I'll tell you this also, in this long battle between the house of David and the house of Saul, you know which side has direction from the defections. At the beginning, everybody defects towards where they see power. You understand? There was a time when David went to the priest and got the sword of Goliath, as well as showbread for his people. You remember that time? And there was a man who was there and he went and reported to Saul and said, David came and this man gave him supplies. And Saul killed, I don't know how many priests. Because at that time, the perception of power. Now, defections will always go according to where the perception of power is. You understand that? So, in the course of fighting, there have been so many people who were with us who defected. You know some of them. Some of them you know very well. Some of them defect from within. And then they become discouragers. There was one who, after the elections, was calling everybody here, saying, you see, he has failed. So God did not tell him. And he actually discouraged the hearts of many people. And you know, people like that, things happen to them, even without anything. So I got to know that a number of things didn't go well for him. And but he was really, really like discouraging everybody. And some of them left, and some of them. And there are people whom I know who even never recovered. There are people who are so, their heart is so tender to bad news. You give them good news, you have to almost get a hammer and pump it in their head. But anything that is of a negative, whatever, somebody will come and say, did you hear this, that? The person say, hey, I knew. And they are so ready to receive anything, what? Of that caliber. Or bad news. And those ones, I love them because when they go, I want them to go. Because they are a burden to carry. Because every time you have to keep on reassuring them, no, that's not true. What? You know what? Are you sure? It's not true. What? Then when you tell them something positive, they say, but are you sure that is true? Like, they are completely twisted. Twisted. But now what happens here, I'm very sure that there is something. There is some of the sons of Benjamin. Now, other people had defected. Some of them had started defecting to David. But when the sons of Benjamin, who are the brethren of Saul, started defecting, now that showed something different. Go to the next verse. They came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you have come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Now, this you see here, betrayal always brings judgment. Without any, the people who have betrayed me, I met one of them. And man, he looked like he had run into a speed train. And I just had to go and pray for him. Because, like, you cannot betray and not attract. Betrayal is a very, very powerful thing. Because you do it to somebody who has your trust. Now here, David is saying that, if you've come peaceably, then let's work together. But if you come to betray me, may God judge you. Because I've done nothing wrong. Okay? Then he says, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David. We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace to you and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. So David received them and made them captains of the troop. Okay? Now, you see somebody here who was so trusting. And now this is how people are doing the work of God. Very trusting that these people come from Benjamin, brethren of Saul. And you don't say, first be on the katebe, let us study if you are with us. David gives it up to God. I'm going to give you positions of leadership right now. But if you betray me, God will judge you. Praise the Lord. And now the thing with people who are of twisted hearts, they struggle to trust anybody. You understand? They never trust anybody. But there are people who have come, and I knew where they were coming from. But I said, okay, maybe in being here, something will happen. But yet I knew their hearts were not, you know. There was one gentleman, I think I told you that story. The guy I was seated there in Bugorobi, in our office in Bugorobi, on Bazarabusa Drive. That's what the street is called. Why are you laughing? Don't you remember that place? Yeah. So why are you laughing? So the guy comes. Now I was seated, you know where I would sit behind under a tree. And when it's there, and I'm seeing people. So I see the guy coming like this. And I know this guy is a spy. I know he's a soldier. I just looked at him and saw it and knew it. And I knew he's a soldier, he's a spy, he has come here to do I don't know what, Vichy. And the guy came and told him, he had done his research. Because he started saying, I started listening to your messages on Spirit FM. So I told him, like, which messages? The guy started reading them off. So clearly he had listened to them. But I still knew, of course, what he was here for. Then he said, I want to join the ministry. What? I said that, where do you want to join? Then he said that, in choir. Now that was a real comedy because the guy had his voice even just talking. Sounded like a frog which has a cough. I said, choir? Hey. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I want to sing what? I said, okay. So I told him, you go and talk to admin. Then as he stood up to talk to admin, I sent a WhatsApp saying that guy is a spy, but put him somewhere. Let's deal with them according to what? To knowledge. That's what the scripture says. You deal with them according to knowledge. And there are so many others whom I know, and somehow we just flow along. A time will come when they will come from the other side to where? To this side, like the children of Benjamin. I know that. That's how it works. And the time already is. Now, but you'd be shocked if you knew the people who are approaching. These ones, children of Benjamin. If you do this, if you do that, if you do this. You know the Nicodemuses. There are so many Nicodemuses, by the way. Then the guy even explains to you, now you should do this, this is what you should touch, what. Then you know that something is shifting. People don't go to places unless they see hope in it. And that hope they see, they are seeing something. Anyhow, so this gentleman, let me finish the story. I'm famous for not finishing stories. The other day I listened to a recording of mine, and I was shocked at how many stories I leave hanging. So this is the new year. I'm going to be finishing all stories. My mind moves on to something else, and then I forget. And then nobody reminds me. Anyhow, that guy, after going back and forth, I told him, you're a soldier. He said, no, I'm not a soldier. What? I feel you're a soldier. He said, no, I'm not a soldier. Then he said, but the truth is I want to join the army. So I actually got confused because I knew I was seeing a soldier. But the fact that he wants to join the army might be what I was seeing. So I said, maybe he's not a soldier, he's just trying to join. So he kept there, coming, Wednesdays, what? Then one day, the guy comes dressed in full SFC uniform. Full SFC uniform. Like 2 weeks ago, he had told me he wanted to join the army and a chesty bow. Now he is in full uniform. Then he comes. Now we had moved offices where this other Gorobi office. What road was that? Kurubia. So the guy comes. So I said, this guy. He had a story. He went to Bombo over to join. Then they refused. Then he didn't even have transport. He walked all the way back to Kampala. And people can have drama. Like somebody cooks a story from start to finish. So he comes to see me. So he even comes. Then he was in the gazebo. So I came and stood outside on the veranda. Then the guy walked on his knees from the gazebo. And meanwhile, I can't explain to you how I felt. I was so disgusted I could puke. He comes and even kisses my shoes and says, now the Lord has told me to come to you. We should start an army and fight these guys. So I looked at the guy. I said, what kind of army? He said, no, I can go and recruit some soldiers. And they come and we start an army. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I looked at him and told him, you man, I'm not stupid. The people who sent you here, do they expect me to be that stupid like them? Have you ever seen somebody trying to kufir you, and you're more angry at the fact that he thinks you can fall for something like that, and you even want to jump in his neck? I said, at least if you had come with something which respects my intelligence. But you come with something which makes, like, even. So I told him, you know what? I already have an army, but not of the kind you know. So, and that was me being very polite. Then the next statement wasn't so polite. I said, get out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. So he actually ran out. he ran out and moved. And then when I sat down and said, these people, they think I can be that stupid. Then I said, hey, yeah, let's get an army. What? Then, oh, prison. What? Anyway, but you see, the point I was trying to make was, now that story, I've finished it. Eh? The point I was trying to make is that David, so trusting. If you've come to betray me, God will judge you. But otherwise, so he received them and made them captains of the troop. Come and join. You want to join the choir? Come. You want to whatever? Come. We know who you are, but come. Okay? Okay, in this case, they were not anyway. But let's go ahead. Verse 19. And some from Manasseh defected to David when he was going with the Philistines to battle. Okay, go to verse 20. When he went to Ziklag, those of Manasseh who defected to him were, okay, go to verse 21. And they helped David against the bands of the raiders, for they were all mighty men of valor, and they were captains in the army. Go to the next verse. For at that time they came to David day by day, defecting to him. And this is the battle between the house of Saul and the house of David. Now the defections are very, very high. Came until it was a great army, like the army of God. Praise the Lord. It was a great army, like what? But it's the army of David, but it's the army of God. Okay, now go to the next verse. Now these were the numbers of the divisions equipped to previous verse. Now these were the numbers of the divisions that were equipped for war and came to David at Hebron to turn over the kingdom of Saul to David according to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Now when the word is issued, there are people who God will bring. And now it's their business because it is not about David, it's about the word of God. Praise the Lord. That's the most important thing. Now, after all this happens, the army is equipped, a number of things happen, which we cannot, you know, go over here. But then, the crowning happens, okay? After all these defections. Previously, people were defecting from here to there, the other side. Now they are defecting en masse from Saul to who? David. Now go to chapter 14, verse 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. Okay? Verse 2. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of the people of Israel. Now there are certain people. Tyre was a kingdom that was historically against Israel. Actually, the devil is called the king of Tyre. You know that. Eh? But now the king of Tyre sends supplies to David when he heard that David has become king. And when David sees that even your enemies now are... I want you to relate this to what your life, eh? Where you are. When David sees that even the people who hate you are now acknowledging that you have reached a certain place, then he knew that he had been established. And now this happens to everybody. This is now where you know somebody who always hated you comes and speaks something or does something or unites themselves with you to do something, and you realize that now I think my time is now. But then, as always, there will be traditional enemies who will come. Now the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. Now there will always be people like that. David, whom we knew here, who was even fighting with us, and we refused him to go and fight with us, and he was like our servant. Now he's the king over Israel. Then now that is the time they actually arise. All the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of wherever. Go ahead. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand. Okay? Notice that. Eh? God has broken through my enemies by what? By my hand, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of the place Baal Perazim. Go ahead. And when they left their gods there, the Philistines were beaten so badly they left their gods there. David gave commandment that they were burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired of God, and God said to him, "You shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees." Now, remember the first time he said, "I beat them by my hand." But you don't get established by doing things by your hand. Now, the second time God says, "Now it's not going to be by your hand. You just go and encircle them." When you hear troops in trees, of course those would be like angels or spiritual beings. When you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. This time not by your hand. Okay, go ahead. So David did as God had commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far back as Gezer. Then, now when the Lord does it, this is what happens. Then the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all the nations. Now that's the summary of the crowning, praise the Lord. When you go places and people have heard about you, and they fear you already, you see? Because now even the Philistines, the second time God went ahead and messed them up, David just came and took the spoils. Then now, your crowning or the unveiling, as I called it here, is this. The fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him on everybody who heard. Oh, David, man, that guy. And you know, you enter into places and you realize that there is a way people perceive you. Sometimes it even helps you perceive yourself the right way. But God has done something to them, and there is a perception of you that even you yourself would struggle to build within yourself. Amen? But now I'm telling you how things are going to happen to you. If you can only, number one, know that you are part of God's grand end time scheme, a very important part, praise the Lord. Actually, repeat it after me. Say, "I'm a very important part of God's end time scheme." Praise the Lord. Now, that scheme covers every area. So your area might be business, might be football, might be every area, you see. But if you see yourself as, "I am the person here to take control of this. I'm the person here to take the crown in this area." You understand? Then you know that your crown connects with every other person's crown. And then eventually, the kingdom of God comes out tops in every way. That's how we are preparing for the rapture. Because we know he's not coming for a defeated church. He's coming from a top church. But that top church starts with every single person taking their responsibility and understanding how important they are in the grand scheme. Number one, and never letting the enemy isolate you and make you think you are alone. Like you're some lone dreamer. So you come and you have these big international dreams. I'm going to dominate this country, then I'll move across internationally. And then somehow the devil tells you, "But man, you're such a..." Okay, we'll not use the word dream. Man, you're caught up in fantasies. And then you can actually convince yourself that those are empty fantasies. Until you talk to this person and the other person and the other person, then you realize while you were there in your apparent fantasies, which actually are dreams, God-given dreams, God was giving similar things to other people. And you are going to unite at some stage. Not everybody, but the people who are in the same, you know, will unite at some stage, and then actually you will come out on top. And every person whom you need in every area. So the great army of God, which is spoken of in 1 Chronicles, it had people who could do everything. It had people who are good artisans. It had people who are good at troop formation. It had people who are good at spear and shield. It had sons of Issachar who are good at understanding times to know what Israel ought to do. It had cooks. It had musicians. Okay? It had everything. It even says it even had left-handed people. People who are left-handed. And they said their precision, they could get a target from so many meters away. Left-handed people. I didn't know that, but I'd seen it. Somehow left-handed people are accurate. Did you know that? No, I mean, I'd seen it in sport. A left-handed guy can put a ball there like that, accurately, which a right-handed person can't do. Right-footed, I mean, in the case of football. Anyhow, but it says it. Armed with bows, using both the right and the left, in hurling stones and shooting arrows with the bow, the way of Benjamin, Saul's brethren. Praise the Lord. So this army has everybody, every resource that is needed. So that would mean they were bookkeepers. Yeah, that would mean they are accountants. In the army, there were all these things. And it is for the turning over of the kingdom from Saul to David. Praise the Lord. And that is according to the word of God. When I'm saying Saul, I'm meaning the house of Saul and the house of David. Remember where we started? Now we are the house of David. Glory to God. And the kingdom is being turned over to what? To us. And we know where the house of Saul is. Those people who have a video when they are punching you. Bam! Bam! This is a guy who bad. He's got to be angry, man. The guy got a huge stick like this. And now was going to pound my head. Then his colleague said, ah, man. Now, touch Jesus. But those guys. Then they made me stand in my underwear there at night, man, and I was shivering. I don't know why it was cold that day. I never feel cold. But I think because they first poured on me water. Remember, it was a Friday I was coming to preach. So I was in a suit. Looking like... Then I reached there, the guys told me that, have you showered? I said, look at this guy. The guy who asked me if you have showered, has probably not showered in a week. And you're there in your suits and a nice cologne, smelling like, you know, like $1 million. Guys, have you showered? I said, what do you mean, have you showered? Of course I showered, what? Then the guy got a pipe of cold water and opened my thing and poured inside. Until I was drenched. Then I showered again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, do you know where you stand? Can you actually believe? Really? Like, I stand somewhere in part of... You're a part of a big thing. You know, people love to be a part of something. That is part of our human nature. You know that? I remember there was a time in... One day, sometimes when I was working in the media, the newspaper I was working for, New Vision, would not have a paper on 24th and 25th. So the last publication would be 23rd, then after that they come on 27th. That's because to have a paper on 26th, people have to be working on 25th. And then what news are you gathering? Everybody is at home eating cocoa and what? So then I went to, for some reason during that time I went to see somebody at a monitor. Then I find them working. Then I ask the security guard outside. You know these guys who, for those security companies, and they are shifted anytime. Then I told him, hey, you mean you produce a paper today? He says, yeah, for us we produce every day. We are not like our rivals. The guy is a security guard, tomorrow they are going to take him to work. But he wants to feel a part of this thing, you understand? Because that's human nature. You know, I was amused. He said, for us, we are not like our rivals. I said, right, our rivals, you are a security. Okay, not that I said it, but he taught me that what? Like, people, they feel attached, and they want to be a part of something. So Bambi has been stationed there to guard at monitor. Now he suddenly feels he's a part of what? A monitor. And unlike our rivals there, for them they are what? They are fake. They 2 days without coming out. For us, every day. So now, I want you to know that you also like that. That security guard. You want to be a part of something. And God has made you to be a part of something powerful. Glory to God. Of his end time army. So you don't have to go tying on things. Like, you know, We are part of his end time army, and you are a very important, significant part of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And now when you know that, and you know how important a part, not just a part of it, but how important your part is, you will walk with confidence, knowing that the Lord is counting on you. Do you know how that makes you feel? Like, honestly, if you knew that there is something which God is counting on you to do, and like, there is a way it pumps you up, you feel elated, your prayer life becomes better, your worship becomes better, because you're not just somebody floating. No. You are saying, for us, we produce a paper every day. You understand? Now, that man, it makes him feel good. It's a very important thing, made him feel good. Now, if you try to tell him that, no, man, tomorrow they might take you to what? To God at Owino. You are a sadist, if you are the kind of person who does that. The man is happy. Praise the Lord. And so are we. Glory to God. So your car business is not just a car business. It is part of something big. Glory to God. Everything that you're doing is part of something big, which the Lord is doing for us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let everybody, let everyone in this place know that whatever the enemy throws at them, it is just a diversion, and it shall not distract them from the time of the unveiling. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we know that the enemy is defeated. He is defeated, and the plan of God has to come to pass. And I pray that each and everyone knows that we are a part of that plan. And when God is planning, he's planning with us in mind. And he's looking at each and every person here. And he has a specific position, location, commission for them. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that none of the people here misses out or is distracted or is discouraged or is disillusioned or is separated, isolated by the devil. But we know that we are a part of a great plan, the plan of the Creator of heaven and earth. And we are the people who shall bring to pass the words that he has spoken. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And I pray that everybody know where we stand at the cusp of spiritual history. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555, or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.